Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Memphis shit. Let's go hook him up!
Co-host Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings, salutations, pot stirrer. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm always fine.
Okay.
I have the world against my back. And we have our other co-host on the line, Couture. What's going on, Couture?
Nothing. I'm Will.
Well, that's good to know. But, you call me a pot stirrer, Craig? Why are you starting the show by insulting me? It's not like I've ever started the show by insulting either one of you guys.
Oh, yeah, sure. No, I think it was Monday. My Twitter was blowing up, and I went to the Twitter page and saw that you were in somewhat of a scuffle with good old JR.
Well, that's, I guess I can see that could be your perspective of it and other people's perspective of it. I myself have a totally different perspective of it, and I'm going to go ahead and share with you my perspective of the whole situation.
Sure.
Okay. Just because other people have asked about what the hell was going on. Basically, as you know, we have WrestleMania in, 2 weeks? In 2 weeks, we will be there,
yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there are many events, and as everyone knows, I am the executive director of events for WrestlingObserver.com, which basically means when it comes to WrestleMania, Vegas, I have to pretty much plan and advertise everything. Well, I have a lot of help from Scott sometimes, but this one is all me.
Mm-hmm.
Things
mm-hmm.
including two buses. Things including
right.
a dinner, a very expensive dinner, and different other things. Okay. Anyway, so.
So you're the king of this whole operation.
Yeah, I am. I am the guy who has to do everything. I am the man. But anyway, you know, we got all these things going on, and then you know, I could hear rumblings on Twitter and stuff about the year before that Jim Ross was going to do a show in WrestleMania weekend. And I knew mm-hmm. that this was going to get put on my lap because, like I say, I am the executive director of the events for WrestlingObserver.com. But, so I get an email from Dave, and Dave basically, who had nothing to do with last year, basically Brian had asked me to do the same thing last year. But Dave sends me an email, we can do this thing with Jim Ross, can you set it up? No contact information to anybody. No names. No anything. Just magically make it happen, Ed. But luckily, like I say, I had done the same thing last year, so I knew what to do. So what I did is I emailed Court Bauer, who's a really cool dude, and I'm like, Court, are you my contact? Are you JR's handler for the weekend? And Court's like, yeah. And I'm like, all right, well, Dave said he talked to Jim Ross, and they want to do what we did last year. Basically, last year, Jim Ross had his show, and he had it on a Thursday, which I wasn't getting into town until Friday. So I couldn't even go to this thing, but I still set it up. Basically, I just collected a bunch of names of members from the Observer. I told them where to go after the show was over, and all they had to do was buy the regular GM tickets, and then they would get to go to the meet and greet, like if they bought the VIP. So basically, they were going to go stand in a certain spot, and then Court was going to come and get them and put them in. But, you know, Court has a lot of things going on, so it took him a couple minutes to get back out there. Before he could get out there, the staff of the building decided to tell these people just loafing, laundering around, and decided to kick them out of the building. So all of a sudden, right about the time they were all supposed to meet Court, my phone starts blowing up. And I'm getting hate text after hate text. I'm getting stuff like, what the fuck is going on? Court never showed up. This is bullshit. Why'd y'all lie to us? You know, just all fucking, everybody was pissed. So this is going on for 15 minutes. I must have got like at least a dozen, maybe more. And then luckily after 15 minutes they stopped because Court had got out there and he got, I'll say maybe 95% of them in. I think some of the guys had to go to a show, so when they kind of started to kick him out, they just went. But I got most of them taken care of. Court got most of them taken care of. So it worked out, but for 15 minutes I'm feeling like utter shit because I sent these people and promised these people they were going to meet Jim Ross, and they almost didn't, you know. So I felt bad about that. So, you know, I have that memory going on. So on this one, I give a Court. Court's like, okay, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to do it just like last year. We're going to do it before the show. We'll add everybody to the lineup, and he gives me all the information. So, all right. So I send it to Dave. I'm like, all right, Dave, here's the information. Dave sends me back, well, that's not what me and Jim Ross talked about. Basically, and he doesn't give me more details. He just says, that's not what we talked about. So I'm like, I get back with Court, and I'm like, okay, Court, Dave's saying that's not what they talked about. And then Court gives it back. He's, well, me and Jim, we talked about it. We discussed this. This is what works best for us. Okay, so I get back with Dave. Tell Dave, this is what they said. They said it works best for them. Okay. So I sent him all the information. So Dave puts on the day. I got Josh Nation to put it on the front page. I got Brian to read it maybe once or twice. You know, he about plugging shit. But for like 2 weeks, for plugging, the Jim Ross show is before the show, the meetups before. And Court's like, even Court was like, you know, just to make sure nothing happens like last year, just, you know, be on the safe side. Can you come round everybody up, take care of it? I'm like, well, I'm actually not going to the show for it. I got to go to the Shimmer show. But for you, I'll go early, and I'll take care of it, and then me and my buddies will jet to Shimmer. And Court, being the cool dude that he is, he's like, well, if y'all do that, I'll get you guys. If you buy the ticket, I'll get you guys in line as fast as possible. At least you guys can meet Jim Ross, and then you go to Shimmer. So I'm like, okay, cool. So I told about 5 people who were doing that to buy tickets, you know, and they were going to get to meet Jim Ross before the show. So that's about 5 people who spent a 20 each. Okay. And then there were other people who were like, well, Ed, we're when it was at the end, can we do it at the end? I'm like, no, I'm sorry. It's got to be at the beginning. I'm sorry. So I told about 4 people. So, you know, and I've done all this work. So we got all this word out for like 2 weeks. So then the other day, I guess it was Sunday, or this happened on Monday, I just happened to click on the update. And I don't read the update every day. I just decided to click on it. So I'm clicking on it and I'm reading. And then I see where he's got the Jim Ross details. I'm like, oh, cool. Maybe he plugged everything. No, he just had the Jim Ross details, but he didn't have the details we've been giving everyone for 2 weeks. He had a totally new thing. about it being after the show. And so I emailed, I thought, Dave, you're giving out the wrong information, you know. And then he has no back. He's like, no, me and Jim talked about it, and this is what we're doing. And I'm like, okay. So I give a court. I'm like, court, they said they changed it to after. And court's like, no, we're doing it before. And so I give to Dave. I go, Dave, I just talked to court. He says it's before. And Dave's like, no, it's after. I tell court to get to court. He's insisting that it's after. And then court's like, I have no idea what he's talking about. Right? So we're like less than 3 weeks away. I need to know what's going on because, like I say, I've told people they can't go. I've told people to buy tickets that can go and that now can't go. I got to make sure I get a hold. It's not like, you know, I can make one announcement and every single person hears it. It takes time to get to everybody. So I'm not getting, you know, I'm just getting Dave saying it's after, but no details. Court's telling me he doesn't know what the hell's going on. So I'm just like, okay, well, let me just send a tweet to Jim Ross and see what he says. So basically I tweeted Jim Ross, I tweeted Dave Meltzer, and I tweeted Court Bauer. And I just said, can you please get on the same page? I have a bunch of people I have to that are getting different information, and I want to strain it out. And Jim kind of responded, and I could tell he was a little snippy when he did. So I sent him another text saying, look, I don't mean any disrespect. It's just I got to do this by myself. I like to make sure everyone knows what they're doing. And then other people chimed in, like Shemp and yourself and everyone. And then so then I get an email telling me how unprofessional I am. Basically, that was basically the whole sentence was just telling me I'm being unprofessional. So it's like, well, you know what? I'm stepping away from this because I can't go, especially now that it's after. I really can't go. So I just asked our good friend Will Keepless, and so he is now the contact person for this. And we've gotten it all straightened out. I went back, and the people I told no, I went back and told them that they could go. And I told the other guys they were fucked, but then Corton said he'd be cool, and we could still go early and get in if we want. But basically, I was just trying to expedite the information because, like I say, it's not that Brian and Dave and them, they have no clue. They just think, okay, we're having a WrestleMania meetup, and magically, the two buses are going to show up, and dinner, we just walk in like nothing, and it's like, dude, it takes a little effort. I mean, you know, okay, maybe I shouldn't have done that, but, you know, I'm getting two different things from court. The different things from Dave, and I have no idea how to get a hold of Jim Ross because I never got Jim Ross contact information. So the only way I knew how to get Jim Ross's attention was on Twitter and shit. Mm-hmm. So if Jim Ross is pissed off, that was my attention. I didn't mean to piss off Jim Ross, but
of course.
You're going to call me unprofessional. I think it's also unprofessional for you to get someone to do something for you, change the plans, and not tell that person. Because had I not seen that daily update, I would still be giving out the wrong information 2 weeks before. So, you know, I'm just lucky I caught it and we straightened it out just in time. Because what if I didn't? What if 20 people show up before, you know, and it's after? Right?
Yeah. No, I got you.
So, I mean, if people think I'm an asshole for doing what I did, that's fine. You can think that. But I had over 35 other people in mind when I did it. That's why I did it.
Let's make clear that this is a job Ed would quit, but nobody else wants it.
Right. Pretty much. And also, it's really, really kind of, I'll be honest, it's really kind of put a bad taste in my mouth, and I'm going to step away. And, you know, next year will be fine because I'm pretty sure R. Frederick is in Dallas and he'll take over. But as far as other times and other things, they can do that on their own. You know what I mean? And like today, when they're having the big reunion on Wrestling Observer Live, I tweeted Brian, hey, we have 1 week for dinner. I got to have the money in 1 week. Real quick plug, do they even bring anything up? No. Perfect opportunity. It's going to be one of the most listened to Wrestling Observer Lives in a long time because Dave's back. Why not throw that little plug out there? You plugged everything else. You plugged your Twitter. You plugged your website. How about you plug the dinner? But I guess that's too much to ask. So it's like I pretty much am officially resigning my post after this WrestleMania.
I can't say I blame you.
Yeah. Well, I should have done it.
I don't understand. Explain it again.
No.
Explain
no, please,
what?
Please.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah,
it's a thankless job. But we do appreciate it, Ed.
Oh, well, thank you, Trey. I appreciate that.
And don't call me. Nobody call me to play anything for next year. I don't want no part of it.
But we will see.
I wouldn't trust you because we would be having our dinner at freaking 7-Eleven eating hot dogs.
Well, thank God. Nobody trusts me. I don't want nothing to do with it.
Sometimes
we are having a barbecue. We are having a barbecue at your house that day.
Oh, we don't eat barbecue out here. We're vegan.
In Texas? Don't eat barbecue.
We have soy chili and soy ribs and stuff, you know.
Nice. Oh, goodness. So how long did you set the show for tonight, Ed?
I just set it for an hour.
Okay. Just checking.
There's really like not a whole lot of them that we have to go through, so I didn't think it'd take too long. But basically, we are going to take a look since it is WrestleMania season. We are going
it
to.
It is. You wouldn't know it from the way the TV's been going. It's been horrible.
Yeah.
I have to agree with you. It's like we already got our payoffs 3 weeks before.
Mhm.
I think
it'll still be a good
show.
I'm just not feeling it right now.
Yeah. No, I mean,
yeah.
I totally agree with that. I think, it's probably going to be excellent. But the build-up for it's been, this is one of the most weakest build-ups I can ever imagine. And everything has been kind of a disappointment. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, the build to WrestleMania is not that great. The Hall of Fame started with a blast announcing Randy Macho Man Savage, but this is probably even more lackluster than the Arizona show Hall of Fame. But at least that one was good, so maybe this one will be good. But Hall of Fame, I'm not excited for the Hall of Fame, you know. I was excited for Shimmer, and then I found out that Prazak lost his damn mind and didn't book Blue Pants, and I'm not as excited for that show, you know. So ROH is the only one that hasn't subtracted itself. I mean, it's actually added interest with Samoa Joe and Jushin Thunder Liger. So, right now, that's the thing I guess I'm looking forward to the most. Hopefully Dave to make it up for me will have Mia win the Chicks Fight tournament, but then he'll probably be pissed off at me and have her job in the first round. But I guess we'll see what happens there. But as far as the Hall of Fame, I guess we can take a look at the Hall of Fame now. Do we want to start with the main event, or do we want to work our way up there? Who has a list?
Let's just kind of do the other ones first, and then end with the main one. I guess that's the
healthy.
There's a couple that we really don't have to go through because they're just kind of, you know, non wrestling.
Well, you know what I want to talk about first before we get okay. Okay, the last year at the Hall of Fame, the Ultimate Warrior had his big speech, and when in his big speech, he wanted to have like a special award go out to somebody who like dedicated their life to WWE or like an unsung hero of the WWE. He named a guy named Jimmy Miranda, who's a backstage guy, and he's talking about producers, cameramen. Stuff like that. The unsung, you know, the people who help contribute, make it the show what it is, but you would never hear their name. And so they decided that this year they were going to have the Warrior Award. I'm not exactly sure what the exact title is. I think it's the Warrior Award, but they decided to give it to Connor. I'm not sure how to say his last name. You know,
Connor the Crusher. Connor the Crusher Michalik, I think is the last name.
Okay, yeah. And I have no problem with this at all. I mean, that thing that when it came out last year, it was like heartbreaking. And then on the WWE 24 and then this, the video package. I mean, I actually think it's a great start.
Oh, yeah. If you didn't get moved by those video packages, you have no soul.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like I say, I have no problem. I think this is great. What I'm worried about is not this year. My problem is, and my worry is that next year, this award goes to some unnamed policeman, unnamed fireman, unnamed dude in touring in Iraq. And I'm not bashing them or saying they're not worthy of an award, but my worry is this is going to have nothing to do with what the Ultimate Warrior wanted. And I hope that they...
It doesn't have anything to do with what the Ultimate Warrior wanted this year, to be honest.
Well, yes, but at least it's somebody who, like, you know, you can feel good about them getting it. But, you know, next year when it's some random fireman who gets it, you know, instead of Junior Miranda, you know what I mean? I just worry that they're going to just...
I just figured they'd find another sick kid next year or something. As callous as that sounds, I don't mean to sound bad, but, you know.
No, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Now, if it's like a sick kid, that's a different thing than, like, you know, say, you know, like I said, some soldier, some fireman, some cop, somebody who has nothing really to do with WWE, so they want to make some publicity and, you know, make a star, be a star publicity kind of a thing, instead of giving it to, like, you know, the person they should give it to next year, they should give it to Jimmy Miranda. Yes. Well, thank you. I'm pretty sure. But, you know, that's what I'm on my board. Do you guys think that that's what's going to go on? I guess Kachar already answered. But, Craig, what are your thoughts on the Warrior Award or the future of the Warrior Award?
Well, like you said, I'm totally fine with this. In fact, I think it's pretty admirable that they are doing a Warrior Award. It wasn't exactly what the Warrior was talking about, but I think they're making lemons out of, or making lemonade out of lemons. So you know, you just kind of roll with it, and it's not like they haven't rewritten history before.
And it's like not a much I don't know, I guess say emotion and given to somebody in production to do a speech at the Hall of Fame. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody else. But
yeah, that's not going to be okay. I'm sure that they're, I don't know if they're going to bring the kid's dad out or what exactly they're going to do, but...
well, I'm sure the kid's dad would be the one that is there, yeah, and see what they're on Monday. So.
Yeah, that's going to be heart-wrenching. But, you know, hey, if... I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen in a year? I mean, what little kid's going to, you know, steal their heart next year? Who knows? As long as they keep the theme the same, I'm totally fine with it. And to counteract your point, I would be fine with them giving it to a soldier or a cop or a fireman. I'm totally fine with that.
I'd be fine if they gave it to me for having to deal with Brian and Dave.
But I would be fine with them honoring our unsung heroes. So that's fine with me.
It was just because it was this child, somebody that he'd been in the limelight for like a year for this thing, mm-hmm. you know, since last year's WrestleMania. So
yeah.
Everybody pretty much knows him. So,
mm-hmm.
I just think, like, just somebody out of the blue, I think would be strange. I guess is what I'm trying to say that you don't know about. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess. All right, well, who do we want to start with then?
The Bushwhackers.
Okay, the Bushwhackers.
I guess I should be happy that they had a few clips of the sheep herders in the montage.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish they would have put like a little more, you know what I mean, or talked about it a little more, because you know, most fans of today, they have no idea. But
all they mentioned was like they won 24 titles in different countries and stuff. About all they mentioned.
Yeah. Plus, they're the two most. They're it's basically one team that's got two parts. Basically, you had the Sheepherder part of the career, you had the Bushwhacker part of the career. They are so polar fucking opposites of each other. You know what I mean? Everybody is going to remember the Bushwhackers, these two lovable buffoons who came up with their arms, forearms going up and down, and they were licking people and, you know, just being wacky and goofy and ramming each other's heads into the opponents. And they had all these scars and looked so ugly, but they never actually did anything hardcore or anything. But, you know, people who are my age and have been watching wrestling for a long time, they know the Bushwhackers as a totally different team as the Sheepherders. And, you know, I saw a shitload of them because they were here in San Antonio for a couple of years. In fact, when they first actually came to San Antonio, it was actually Luke and Lord Jonathan Boyd. And then Boyd got injured. And then that's when Butch came back. But they had, you know, it was Luke and Butch before. But for some reason, I don't know what exactly they were separated for at that time. But they did. They were reunited when Boyd got hurt. And Boyd was the booker. And basically, he booked the Sheepherders on top. And they ran the city red with blood. I mean, the Southwest was the bloodiest territory at the time. And when they were on top, it was... Every week they would just bloody up some jobber. It was disgusting. And then I'll never forget the day they tried to murder Bobby Jaggers. Wasn't it like reported that they broke both of his arms, one of his legs, his ribs? He had like all these stitches. I mean, basically they pilmanized his arms basically with a coal miner glove into the chair. And, still one of the sickest things I've ever seen. Bobby Jaggers just bled everywhere. It was disgusting. And they had a great run in Mid-South facing the Fantastics and doing the scariest fucking barbed wire cage I ever seen in my life. I thought those guys were going to die if they went flying into it.
Looks like I put it together.
Basically, yeah. Craig could do such a better job than Will was on there. And then they had many flag bearers like Jack Victory and Johnny Ace, and then they have Lady Maxine in Mid-South.
Well, Lady Maxine was with Jack Victory, so
okay.
Kind of by extension that she was with them. But also Rip Morgan, the NWA.
Yeah, that's right.
And actually Rip Morgan and Jonathan Boyd were the Sheepherders, like in Memphis.
Oh, okay.
They had a run to the Sheepherders in Memphis, I believe. So,
yeah, they also had a big run. They had a big run in Seattle too. Not Seattle, Portland. I don't know if Craig saw any of that.
Didn't see any of that. The only Sheepherders I remember as a kid was, you know, picking up one of the After mags and seeing the pictures of like the barbed wire matches they were having with the Fantastics, which of course intrigued me, but that's all I knew about the Sheepherders. So my only real exposure to them, seeing them wrestle, was as the Bushwhackers. And, well, to be honest, they were a joke.
Would you think that the Bushwhackers once had a 5-star match rated by Dave Meltzer?
No, I wouldn't have thought that.
I did. I was there for that match at the first Crockett Cup. They went against Fantastic. So the only time you'll see a 5-star match with a finish being a double disqualification. You never see that today, I don't think.
Well, there you go.
They also wrestled as the Kiwis in Stampede, if I remember correctly.
Yes. Yes, I did. I did remember that. I actually sat by Luke at one of the ROH shows. I think it was in. I think it was the year they were in Florida. And if you remember, we actually had him on our podcast here. Gosh, been 2 years now, I bet. But
didn't you say you smell like a rotted fish or something?
He always sounds drunk.
Yes, he's told me that I told him I sat by him at the ROH shows, and then he accused me of smelling of sardines. So there you go.
I don't have a problem with them because, you know, everyone gets to be in the Hall of Fame. But to me, it was kind of random. I wasn't expecting the Bushwhackers, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I totally hear you. Especially, I was kind of incensed at first. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And then I remembered that Coco Beware is in the Hall of Fame.
Vince, anybody that's got somewhat of a name or has it is going to get in eventually. You know, there's been one of those classic, at least one of those classic WWF characters. A lot of people didn't like the Bushwhackers. Quite frankly, they're kind of stupid, but yeah.
All right, tell me that neither one of you never did the forearm thing when they came to the ring at least one time.
I never did. I can safely say
you
that.
You lie.
I don't know what you do in your living room, but I sure as fuck ain't doing that in mine.
I'm pretty sure I did it when I saw him live.
All right.
Why wouldn't you?
Hell yeah. And then
They probably became more famous and made more money under the Bushwhackers moniker.
It's the same thing with Terry Taylor and the Red Rooster. You know what I mean?
I don't know if that's what
you most remember for. But the Red Rooster.
Yeah, you're right.
God, I hope they don't put him in as a Red Rooster if he ever goes in.
You know they will.
I still don't know where that name came from. Anybody explain that name to me? I don't. Is there a meaning behind it that I'm not aware of?
If I could explain what WWE's thinking, I would be a rich, rich man. So.
Yeah. But also, one of the ones that they're inducting Rikishi, and much like the Sheepherders, or the Bushwhackers, even more so, they did not acknowledge anything that he did before he was Rikishi. And he was there for a very long time because he was a Samoan SWAT team. He was trying to make a difference. He was a Sultan, you know, and then he was a Samoan. Or not Samoan, a sumo.
He put on a big diaper and got some sunglasses and some hip music, and then he was over. Amazing.
And constantly got fatter and fatter and fatter every year.
Yeah. And don't forget about running off on your kids, but we'll save that for another time.
And he's Steve Austin with that call.
How could they not put any footage of Fatu make a difference, Fatu? He was trying to make a difference. Give the man some credit. I don't know what he was trying to make a difference in, but
the first time I saw Fatu, which I didn't realize until like a while back, because I saw an old episode of TNT. He was like in the background at Butcher Vachon's wedding reception on TNT. He was there with Offen Sika.
Okay.
Looking just like a. Well, he's the brother of the Tonga Kid, if you remember, Tama of the Islanders.
Who also got, I guess I can't say he got fatter every year because he went from being looking like Jimmy Superfly Snuka one year, and then he looked like Rikishi the next year.
Yeah.
I've never seen a man get so fat in my life.
I know, I was always amazed when the report came out that Umaga was on HGH. I said, wow, he's not naturally getting beer. I don't know. It was weird. The Samoan SWAT team, I first saw them. I'm pretty sure you first saw them in World Class, huh? That's probably the first time I saw them.
Well, in World Class, managed by Buddy Roberts, who was
wearing Steve Do It To It Cox.
Yeah, Steve Do It To It Cox. And Buddy Roberts wore like the Hawaiian Island skirt or whatever. And then Lays and just looked utterly disgusting. But they were an awesome team.
Yeah, they were a good team. I remember them. They They left World Class and they went to the NWA, where they commanded by Paulie, Dangerously Paul Heyman, and had the big feud with the Road Warriors. And actually, I think they were one of the first teams around that time period. They actually got to go over the Road Warriors in some house show matches, pinfall and stuff like that. But I remember them feuding with the Road Warriors. They teamed up with the Freebirds, Terry Gordy and Jimmy Garvin, Michael Hayes, against the Road Warriors, the Midnight Express, and Dr. Death at that Great American Bash War Games match in 1989.
And fucking Dr. Death fucking press slammed Terry Gordy over his head like 5 times and bounced him off the top of the cage. That was awesome. And then I'll never forget when Paulie goes, because Michael Hayes was the last one, and Paulie's, "You gotta go." And Michael Hayes goes, "I gotta go?" So, "Yeah, you gotta go."
He didn't know. You're in this match. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was a great War Games. That really was. Why didn't they bother to take 5 seconds to talk about the Samoa SWAT team or so and so? It's like, do they just figure everyone remembers Rikishi and that's it? I mean,
I think they like to put over their stuff more than anybody else's, but it'll get mentioned in his Hall of Fame speech and all that stuff.
But
so.
But they invented the Sultan.
They did what?
They invented the Sultan. I mean, I can understand the Samoan SWAT team, then not mention that, but they made him wear a mask and had like a ponytail on the top
of
it.
Would you mention the Sultan? I would mention the Sultan if I did the Sultan.
How long was he around? Maybe 9 months total?
The Sultan was around for about 9 months or so. It wasn't even a year. He was the Sultan all the time.
Man, he's one of the most exciting wrestlers of all time, Bob Backlund.
the Sultan actually did an indie show here. It was actually one of the shows they do on the basis, and it was in fact Rikishi under the Sultan gimmick, and he wrestled Crush.
And what Bob Backlund are you talking about? Well, that must be one from a different dimension than I'm currently in, so, where he was excited.
Bob Backlund and the cross-faced chicken wing, greatest finisher of all time.
Didn't Iron Sheik manage him? He and Bob Backlund both managed the Sultan, right?
That's right, yeah. There's both of them, I think. Because the Sultan used the camel clutch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he even faced the Rock at WrestleMania 13, the Intercontinental title. Which probably nobody remembers.
He even had the curly Q boots too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, he did. And he kind of had the Coco Beware pants, baggy pants, not as baggy, but kind of.
Mm-hmm. His boots had to be illegal. That's what Gorilla always said. There's something wrong with the boots. They can't be regulation.
I think Kishi's acceptance speech is going to be very good. I'm sure he's going to talk a lot about his family and the family that wrestled before him. And I think this will probably be one of the highlights of the evening. And I'm sure they're going to bring the other two dorks up on stage to dance with him at some point. If
his sons are too cool.
Yeah.
Too cool.
Last year we got the Click reunion. Now we're going to get the Too Cool reunion. who wants to put odds on who gets to induct Rikishi? Do his two sons get to induct him, or do his two sons get to stand behind Roman Reigns as he inducts him?
I hope it's his boys.
I'm thinking it's going to be his sons. Makes no sense.
Yeah, his boys should induct him, but maybe we can get them dancing with him at the end, or Too Cool, as long as Brian Christopher can make bail whatever jail he's in for this weekend. But
or if he can walk
anyway.
Straight.
That's true.
That was pretty amazing how much that got over. Too Cool and Rikishi.
Oh, it really was.
It was over huge. I mean, one of the biggest ratings Monday Night Raw ever had was, you remember that 10-man tag team match they had with Too Cool and Rikishi? And it was The Rock and Cactus Jack against, I think it was Triple H and X-Pac and I think it was when the records came in, it was Benoit and Saturn and
I think Dean Malenko. They had like this incredible like 10-man tag, and it was like one of the highest rated segments ever on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, I remember that. That was badass. But I guess we can move to Medusa. I don't know if it was just her last run at the end of WCW that kind of killed it for me, but I feel that I should be more excited for her than I actually am.
I'm more surprised that she's going in, to be honest with you.
Yeah. What?
Actually, I was a little bit more surprised that she's going in.
Yeah, cause this is another one that's kind of random. It just kind of like, but basically, I've been watching her since she was managing. She was managing, what the fuck was his name? It was one
Kevin
of the
Kelly?
Kaminsky kids. Yeah,
Nick
Kevin
Kaminsky.
Kelly. Kevin
Nick,
Kelly
Nick,
and
Nick,
one of the Kaminskys. Nick Kaminsky.
Nick Kaminsky in the AWA in like 1987 or 88 or something like that.
Yeah, her name was. Yeah, and her name was Medusa Michelli, and she managed them. And then she ended up beating, I guess, Kenny Devine. Like everybody beat Kenny Devine for the AWA title, just like everybody beat Bugs Zumwalt for the AWA Light Heavyweight title. So
yeah, I think she took Sherry's spot when Sherry went to the WWF in 87 and beat Nova.
And she showed a lot of potential back then. I mean, she had a lot of potential. And then she went to Japan, and that's when she really learned how to work. And she's, I'm pretty sure it's her. I couldn't, you know, obviously I didn't understand the commentary, but there's a famous match between Aja Kong and Bull Nakano in a cage. And Bull Nakano is barefoot. And it's one of the most bloodiest, sickest women's matches you'll ever see. But Medusa is one of the, I don't even remember who she was seconding, but she was seconding one of them. And there was another Japanese girl seconding the other one. And they were brawling just as fucking hard and as violently as Bull and Aja in the ring. It was, well, this is one of the most craziest matches you'll ever see. And that's where, like, Bull Nakano came off the top of the cage. And it was scary as shit because she's a big girl, she's barefoot, and she's kind of like wobbling up there, and then she came crushing down on Aja Kong, and that was an incredible match. And then she came back to WCW with the Dangerous Alliance, and I just remember the pop when she scaled the cage during the War Games match to get the phone, and then Sting playing the cage to like to scare her off and stuff. And that was awesome. And then she had the big bikini contest with Missy Hyatt. And that one bikini she had with, like, the chaps and so on. Oh, my gosh, she looked fucking fantastic. And I just remember that somehow Missy wore she had two different bikinis. The one that was that Johnny B. Badd acted like she was almost naked and actually had way more material than the first one she came out. I don't know why they mixed up the... Oh, yeah, because she stole, like, somebody's... Medusa had stole her bikini, so she stole, like, Jesse's robe or something,
headband.
Or, like, headband.
Stole someone's do-rag. His do-rag.
His do-rag. But then when she, like, she came out, it was more material than what she had in the first time. But
yeah, it was...
Goddamn. That was Missy at her, like, peak. Goddamn, she was so fucking hot.
Yeah.
Don't know why they're so bent on, and I'm talking WWE, I don't understand why they're so bent on getting their brand over when they actually own WCW, because she did way more in wrestling as Medusa as she did as Alundra Blaze.
Mm-hmm.
So you already own the library. They can go on your network and type in Medusa and see more stuff of hers on your own network. You own it. They own Alundra Blaze and they own Medusa, the name. Why not induct her as Medusa? What's the big deal?
It was weird last year when they inducted Razor Ramon instead of just like
Scott Hall.
Stupid to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah. She was a Medusa longer than Alundra Blaze, but I always thought she had a great run as Alundra Blaze because she had great matches with Bull Nakano before when the
sure.
got busted for cocaine and got fired. She had great matches with Bertha Faye, and she had come back from Japan being Monster Ripper. And then it looked like she was going to have an awesome feud with Aja Kong until all the guys freaked out that this fat, short, fat Japanese woman was fucking out working her ass, and they freaked out about it and sent her back to Japan. But, I thought she had good matches when she was WWE. I guess they ended up dropping it. And then, of course, she shows up on Nitro, and the most famous thing she ever did really is dropping the WWE Women's Championship in the trash can. And, I'm sure Eric Bischoff enjoyed that. I mean, that is one of the most memorable things from the war, really.
Yeah, from the beginning. I mean, the first really two big things you remember is that and Lex Luger showing up at that first Nitro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That and when Razor and Nash showed up, too. I mean, those are like the three things.
Yeah.
You know? And then, unfortunately, she got into feuds with Oklahoma. And the latter part of
the Cruiserweight Champion.
Yeah, she was. But and also her breasts were constantly getting bigger and bigger.
Yes. I remember that last one where she was. Remember she was part of the Randy Savage entourage, like in 1999. With
when it was okay. It was her. It was
Gorgeous George. Who was
Gorgeous George and fucking Molly Holly.
Yes, Miss Madness with the wedding gown on or the prom dress or something or other.
Yeah.
Not sure.
Nora Greenwald or something. Molly Holly basically. And she's a monster truck driver. And didn't she get into, like, a pretty bad accident not too long ago and got hurt?
I have no idea. I don't keep up with the Monster Truck Leagues.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
What are you talking about? You're a redneck. You should, like, know everything. You should be able to give me stats. You should be able to tell me that fucking Gravedigger is, like, 5-4 or something.
Okay, so
it's all a work.
It's a work, really?
Oh, totally. That whole thing's a work.
They used to get their newsletters and stuff, their kayfabe sheets.
Driving dirt.
Yeah, I never understood the appeal of that. I don't care where. What the truck go through the mud? Yeah, that's fun. If I want to do that, I'd go down the road and do it myself. Shit.
Sure. You know what's funny though? Those fucking things sell out, dude. Wherever they go.
Yeah, I've been a couple times. It's a lot of fun. It's
With the Giant, the Monster Truck match.
That's right.
Most famous of all time.
I went and saw Monstersaurus one time.
Turkosaurus. Turkosaurus. Right.
Yeah, Turkosaurus. Yeah. And then the bus was a jet engine. I think it was a bus. Something had like a jet engine. But anyway, I mean, I guess she's as good as anyone to get in there. So it's just a surprise. And I guess the last one's, we can skip Arnold because Arnold doesn't really have anything to do with wrestling other than, two, three appearances.
She was married to Eddie Gilbert and Greg Valentine. Not at the same time, but at different points in her life, I think.
Wait, Eddie and who?
Thanks for clearing that up.
Greg Valentine?
She was married to Greg Valentine? No shit?
I'm pretty sure she was. Or at least they were a couple for a long time.
I know there's a story about...
I'll look it up.
Eddie Gilbert was the booker for Global Championship Wrestling, and he had fucked somebody over, some other local Texas promoter, like not that long before, and this promoter got with Jeff Gaylord, who's probably most famous for being one of the Shawn Michaels Knights. in WWE.
And
other
for
than
robbing
being
banks.
In, and for what?
Robbing banks.
All right. And so he sends Jeff Gaylor to go act like he's looking for a job. So he goes, and he goes to talk to Eddie, and they go in the office. And then Jeff Gaylor just attacks Eddie and fucking sucker punches him and fucking knocks the shit out of him.
Yeah, I remember.
And then
that.
I think Doug was in the next room, so Doug came flying in and, like, broke a bottle over his head. So Jeff just, you know, took off, I guess, bleeding a little bit from the head after the bottle. But he jacked up Eddie. He got Eddie pretty good. And basically sometime later, I guess at a convention or something, Medusa was there and Jeff was there, and she basically, like, round kicked him in the head and, like, knocked him out. And that's the story. I kind of asked Missy about this one time on Twitter, and you know how Missy responds, where she never really answers your question, and she's real vague, but she's kind of giving you something, but not the whole thing. She just kind of, like, gave me some kind of answer about somebody got knocked out, but, you know, didn't, you know, left it up to, like, you know, like, she's not giving you the whole thing. But, you know, that, yeah, that's the story, is that she knocked out Jeff Gaylord for beating up Eddie Gilbert.
Yeah, I'm on her Wikipedia page, and it says she married Eddie Gilbert in 1991, but doesn't say anything about Greg Valentine. She ended up marrying a NFL player. His name was Ken Blackman. They opened up a motorcycle shop in Florida and made custom bikes for NFL players, and divorced in 2011. And in 2014, October 10th, she was injured at a Monster Jam event in Melbourne, Australia, and was taken to the hospital for treatment. So there you go.
Right, Couture giving false information and me giving correct information, just like always.
Am I giving false information? I can't open up Wikipedia and ain't up on their stuff.
Yeah, when it comes to stuff like this, I would actually trust Couture more than the internet, to be honest with you.
Like, I just pulled it out of thin air, Greg Valentine and Medusa.
Yeah.
She did manage him at one time, so who knows?
But anyway, we'll go to the main events. So when we got, like, well, let me draw the plugs real quick. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows. Check out AngryMarks.com. You can also download and stream our show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Couture and older shows at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me on Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
And you can follow me on Twitter. It's my last name, which is Proper, P-R-O-P-E-R, and the word jam, so Proper Jam on Twitter.
I'm on, you can go to youtube.com/Couture. I'm actually just in the middle of making a new playlist. Found a bunch of the old world-class Parade of Champions full shows and Star Wars shows that I'm putting up. So.
Cool.
Anybody wants to go
on? How many of them?
Maybe about three of the Parade of Champions, maybe about three or four of the old Star Wars shows from the 80s.
Okay, is any one of them the Christmas show with Carrie against Michael Hayes?
What year was that?
Man, got to be like 83 or 84.
I'll have to check. I'm not sure.
There's one that, like, I think there's one that's, like, real famous, but I don't think anyone's ever really seen it, because I don't know if they recorded it or not.
I'm not sure. I'll have to look.
I'll definitely go check those ones out. Okay, go ahead. Craig, did you do yours? I didn't even remember.
Yeah, I did. I'm good.
Okay. Also, I'm putting up a playlist with a bunch of the old Pro Wrestling This Week shows from the 80s. I don't know if you guys remember that show with Gordon Solie and Joe Pettisino, where they would, like, have footage from all the organizations pretty much every week.
Yep, that was a great show.
I don't know how they got away with that, but they did.
They didn't get away with it for too long, unfortunately.
I doubt the territories cared because they were getting publicity out of it. I was surprised they had WWF stuff on there.
They had like a little bit, but not like a lot. Because that was around the time when they were starting the ban after from ringside, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know what? 4 minutes isn't really enough to do the Macho Man. Let's open next week with the Macho Man. And I guess we can just look at the weekend of the whole WrestleMania thing, because that'll probably be our last show before WrestleMania. So, if we got 4 minutes, so any other little things you all would like to talk about before we
go? And I also think they're supposed to be announcing, like, they should be announcing Kevin Nash next week, so.
Yeah.
Or Diesel.
Yeah, that's right.
Kevin Nash, which would be weird if they.
Especially considering, didn't he just say he'd never be with them again after the whole arrest thing, and they had to fire him off the Legends deal?
Well, he said that, and the day after he was on the Raw reunion or something.
Yeah.
Mm, something like that.
But I guess Dave's not going to get his wish, and there's no Ray the Crippler Stevens going in this year.
How many dead people so far?
I got to see a little bit of Ray Stevens way at the end of his career, but the one thing I do remember is, did you ever get to see this Couture when he kept pile driving Jimmy Snuka on the concrete?
Oh yeah,
busted
in the WWE.
Busted him open, they had to carry him out, stretcher him out. I mean, he was all bloody. That was actually like an awesome angle.
Yeah, I remember that.
But
anything else? We don't have anything else. I got meatloaf to eat.
I love meatloaf.
Why wouldn't you?
That ain't bad. Yeah, I remember that song.
Yeah.
Cool. Craig?
Not much. I'm actually going to the ill-fated WWE house show tomorrow in Seattle. I don't know if I would actually go if my son didn't want to go. So,
I'm guessing you didn't spring for the expensive seats like the last time.
No, we're about three rows up in the bleachers. I mean, they're the best second tier tickets you can buy, but I didn't pop for the $95. The $107.
Speaking of the family, they're not upset that you're leaving them to go gallivanting with Matt Clary for the weekend.
I've gone to WrestleMania by myself many times, Ed. It's not a big deal.
But that's before we all knew how close you and Matt Clary are.
What are you trying to imply?
That you're close. I didn't say that. I don't judge people by their sexual preferences.
Yes, you do.
I take offense to that. I don't know what you're talking
about.
Probably Jim
Ross. That's probably why he got mad at you.
Well, I would not be upset if you called me gay or bisexual, but it's just not true. So. There you go. But
you guys are close. You like to hang out. You're buddy-buddy.
Yeah, he's my buddy. Why wouldn't I? I'm going to hang out with you, too. I barely even like you. So what's the big deal?
Yeah. I think a lot of people feel that same way.
I'm playing the music. People they don't like.
I'm probably going to be put at the kiddie table at the dinner at WrestleMania. They'll be like, they're going to tell me how to go sit at the bar.
Well, it's the worst place to sit at the bar.
That is true. That is true. But it looks like, because I did get an email asking me how much money a certain someone owes me, because I'm only waiting for one person to pay. Well, two people, actually. But hopefully I'll be getting that money soon. But hopefully I'm thinking we're going to have about 30 people at the dinner, which is actually a pretty good turnout because of the price. I had originally like kind of booked it for 40, but the week we made it to where the week before, change it if need be. So, but it looks, I was thinking maybe if we were lucky for a while, it looked like if we were lucky, we were going to get 20, but we are looking at like 30 now. So that's pretty good. So there is still time if you want to go eat with us at Fogo de Chao. And, you know, I should auction off the seats next to Brian and Dave and actually charge like a little more for those seats, you know. Because you know some fool would probably pay like an extra $200 to sit next to Dave. Or that one guy from Arizona, you know, that's close enough to California. I could like charge him like $500 to sit next to Brian.
I figured you said you had your own seats at the, on the plane, because I figured they made you buy two.
That's the rudest thing you could have ever said to Craig. Why are you being mean to Craig like that?
I wouldn't be mean to Craig. I wasn't talking to Craig.
Oh. Well,
I was just on the A&A when they made the people buy two seats. It's kind of embarrassing.
They made Kevin Smith buy two seats, and he's not even that big one time.
Well, pretty good-sized man.
That's just rude.
Well, I don't know if I told this story, but funny story is one year when I was leaving the Vegas convention, I think this was two conventions ago, I was getting on, and I always get the – I fly Southwest, so I always get the early bird so I can be in that first group to get in, because I like to get the the emergency row exit, because there's just a little more space in there.
Yep.
So one day I go in there, and there's one guy – on one side, one guy's already sitting by the window, and then on the other side, there's a guy on the aisle seat, and he's got his laptop, you know, one of those dudes. So I get in there, and I get next to the window, so it's me and him, and people are just coming through. Finally, this one lady sees that the seat's there, and she decides to sit down, and I don't know why, but I guess I was not in the best of the mood, but usually on a plane, I'm usually kind of cool, and I'll kind of give the person space, you know what I mean? I'll cramp my one arm a little bit and not be a dick, because I'm just considerate like that, believe it or not. But for some reason, I decided not to. So I just sat back with my arm's normal length, arm on the wrist thing. So this lady sits down, and she scoots back, and then she just pops forward and huffs, "I can't sit next to this guy," and she stands up and takes off. And I was like, well, bitch, I didn't want to sit next to you either. But luckily somebody didn't show, you know, there was a sold out plane, but somebody didn't show up. So no one sat between me and that dude. So not only did I get my aisle seat, I had the seat next to me empty. And I got to know that I just pissed off some lady just because, I don't know why. But and you know what? It wasn't like she was so goddamn skinny herself. I don't know what the fuck she was talking about.
Well, luckily, and this is the only thing I've got going for me, I'm a big man, and I've never had a problem on a plane because my shoulders are the widest thing on me. So I can usually, you know, scrunch and bend and twist. Luckily, my backside and my hips are not, you know.
You're not a special ass, in other words?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
and all that.
I never actually had any problems on a plane because I've never been on a plane.
That blows my mind.
Really?
Wow.
I'm a driver. I enjoy driving.
Okay.
And I've never really been that same place like that far. So, Florida or someplace like that. We go always drive too, so.
Yeah,
you've pretty much always just been in Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas, right?
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah.
Been to Georgia, been to Florida, been to Washington, D.C. on a school trip. They took us on a fucking bus. But.
Well, everybody, come back next week. We will, like I say, we will talk a little bit about the Macho Man, and we will talk about everything that we're looking forward to at WrestleMania, which probably won't be a very long show either. Because
we'll talk about everything we're not looking forward to, probably.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe.
But we'll talk to everybody then.
Be the man! You got-
the man. You want to find out how good you are? You're looking at the matrix, shit. Let's go hook him up.
I'm going to show you what I did.